Everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom podcast. I'm on the floor of South Carolina Comic Con with the infamous and infamous and is there an infamous with an E too?
No, I think it's just an I. Infamous.
Infamous.
Infamous means you're like good though, right?
Moderately. I think
maybe
it's
just look evil.
Nah.
Because I wear all black most of the time.
You definitely, like you mentioned, like a bakery earlier. You definitely look like you would be hanging out in a bodega.
Okay.
And like in like Queens or Washington Heights, or you know, or in like what's the French Quarter of whatever of Charleston?
Oh yeah, well there's New Orleans.
Yeah.
There's New Orleans. There's one in Charleston too. Yeah. I think there's even one in Savannah. I think all three of those.
All three
of those cities are basically the same city, kind of. They're all like sister.
Dude,
cities.
They really are. Like, but
I love all three. So.
Oh, and that's the thing. Like, whenever I'm going places and I see like I walk in, I'm like, this is Savannah. Okay, this is, you know, Georgia. This is Georgia, Charleston.
Yeah.
Or whatever else.
Georgia, Charleston, right.
I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
So, I just want to know about your art life. Like, you know, you told me you, like, did Catholic school and everything growing up. Like, how did you get from where you're at to what you're doing? Like, what's your art job? What's your day job? What's your life look like?
So, currently, right now, I do have a really rad side gig doing print production at a vehicle wrap place. So it's like car wraps.
Okay. Right?
So I have like years and years and years of experience, and then I was doing car wrap stuff full time back in 2018, and I quit just to do art full time, right? Because the opportunity presented itself. Plus, I had to leave that place where I was at. So it's just like, it was one of those things where it's like, well, you know, now's pretty much the time, right? So, but I've been making art since I was a kid, and, you know, all throughout working full time at like another print shop before then, I was always, you know, doing local underground Charleston, South Carolina art shows, and I eventually got into conventions, and so I was working full time and then doing conventions because I just wanted to make art, man. Like, that's all I wanted to do, you know?
So, like, what was your first convention?
Captain's Comic Expo.
Okay.
Yeah, good old Captain's. It's a small comic shop in West Ashley, Charleston, South Carolina. So, Captain's Comics and Toys.
After your first show that you did, were you, like, confident you'd be able to keep doing that?
No. I didn't know what I was doing. If you saw my table, I would just, like, put my prints out. I had no tablecloth. I had no backdrop. I had, like, maybe some easels. And then, like, I would take my prints and just put them in piles. I wouldn't draw. I would just sit there. And it was, like, the most awkward thing. Like, I think I have a photo from, like, some convention I did. Like, I started doing conventions in 2012.
Okay.
So, I'm sure I have a photo. I'll have to dig through my computer and send one to you later. But no, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just mostly do underground art shows where it's like, oh, it's kind of like a gallery somewhat setting. Like, you go in, you all hang out, get drunk with your friends, and then everybody goes home. And maybe you sell a painting. You know, that's what I'm used to. So
I went to an art show like that in Raleigh where it was, I don't remember the alliteration of it, but it was paintings and pancakes.
Oh, that's like a big thing.
Yeah.
I think that's in Atlanta, too. Something like that.
They did one in Raleigh, and it's like literally just, you know, eating.
Well, there's waffles and beer, I think. Something like that. Similar.
There was like a traveling thing, and it was pretty cool. But I know with my first booth set up and everything, I straight up had a book, and my first book, dude, was 90 pages.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't even carry it at cons now because I'm like, I don't really want people to actually read that one.
Yeah.
But
you just like gotta shelve it.
Dude, it's totally shelved. It's straight up. I tell people you can get it on Amazon if you want it, and I put it the cheapest price Amazon would allow it.
Okay. Oh wow.
I'm like, I see what I did.
Yeah.
I don't want to charge you for this, but right. Because it's the first one.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mom wants to start with that one. I'm like, please don't.
Yeah, just don't.
I almost took it out of print, but I remember my first booth.
You, like, burned the rest of them.
Yeah. Or to make it where Amazon can't make anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's an option, but I haven't pulled that trigger.
Okay.
I know, like, my first booth, I had a book, two t-shirts.
Okay.
and two prints that I hired, like I commissioned out.
Sure.
And they were so 2012, 2013 that it was like one of them was straight up like.
I mentioned when you were wearing the Lego hats.
That was a little bit after that. It was like maybe 2015 or something.
Yeah.
But I, you know, my booth set up, when I look back, it's not great now, but it was piddly then.
Okay.
So what was the thing, like at what point did you decide I can do this enough to actually do it full time? I know you got the side.
Well, I mean, I guess the plan was for me to just do it full time anyway. So I was just challenging myself to see if it would do it. And if not, then I was going to make it work. You know, like I was determined. I still am. Like, that's all I have.
So what does full time look like for you?
What do you mean?
Like, you full time art. What does that on a practical scale look like? Of like a con mix, a creator mix.
Oh, I understand.
Commission
just
mix. Like
just
what's
oh, dude, don't put all your eggs all in one basket, man. Do anything and everything you can. You know, it's like if there's shows now with like covers, that could be a thing now.
Yeah.
You know, since I'm so thankful for the two published covers with Keenspot for my, you know, my friends that have their comics. So that's an option now. Or potential. So it's just like, what else could there be? Like, say if someone wants me to do just like private commissions, that's still on the table. Then there's merch, shirts, you know, local shows, local art shows where it's more of a gallery setting, murals. So that it's just like, that's my main, that I guess the quote unquote fine art aspect has been my number one goal since forever. You know, so I have a different aesthetic.
So I mean, but like perfect world. Like, you've officially arrived as a full-time artist. You don't have to do anything else. Like, and you get to do it the... Nah, I'm great, bro.
I'm good.
Thanks, man.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
That's a slice of life. That's real time.
Some of the best stuff has been, like, Con Floor podcast.
Yeah.
Like, if you have... you've arrived exactly where you want to be, what's a year in your life look like as an artist?
Oh, let's see, planning out shows and conventions, planning out other local art shows, making paintings, making new work, making new merch, designing new merch, and possibly booking myself for potential murals. Pretty much everything I just said, really. That's just like...
continual scale.
Yeah. It's just like doing everything and anything at all times, period. And if I have my side gig, then that's good too, because I could be like, you know, I'm still being creative. It's just not so much art stuff, but that's all print production stuff. So it's just good to have... So it's part-time, you know, so it's just like, it's a healthy balance, you know, I think, you know, because it's good to get out of the studio painting and like, well, I should just, you know, work with some friends and like help them out, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it really works out. It really does. Like, the flexible schedule is really nice, you know what I'm saying? Plus, like, I like to be effective, you know? Yeah. So
how close have you come to burnout just as an artist?
Often. Like 2019, even though personally it was probably the worst year of my life, as well as 2020, I was keeping myself so busy and focused to not think about what I had going on personally, you know? And by the end of 2019, I did like 18 shows or something like that. And I was just like, by the end of 2019, I was just like, oh my God, like I was done. You know, I was like, I don't want to paint. I don't want to do nothing. You gotta balance it all out, man.
But I think that's too, for me, like, you know, 2019 was literally my worst year too. This year is surprisingly starting to catch up.
Yeah.
But that's just dealing with other stuff in our family and everything.
Yeah,
but 2019 was my busiest year.
Yeah.
It was my most successful year.
Same here.
And it was my worst year.
Same here. Look at the synchronicity here.
That's what I'm saying. That's just like, there's a lot of ways I look back on 2020 with gratitude. Because
2020 is just bad for me.
Well, for me, because I literally was on the road. Like, I think I did 27 shows.
2020 or 2019?
2019.
Oh, okay.
Right. I think I did 27 shows in 2019, and like I was home maybe 6 days of July total. Like,
holy crap! So you're like done.
Yeah, I was so burnt out, and I was emotionally dead. I was like, and it was the same thing of like, I'm doing all this other crap to kind of mask.
No pun intended.
No, yeah.
because we're I'm taking a drink right now. But I was wearing a mask.
You were wearing a mask, but no, it's like I think I was doing all of that hustle to either fulfill or to like to make me feel less empty or to mask the crap I was dealing with, and it was.
So you keep yourself busy to avoid it.
Yeah, it's like trying to run from it, but it's like. Which
was 2020, you had to face all that. You know what I'm saying? Because I had nowhere to go.
And that's it. That's the stuff I'm grateful for. It still sucked.
Well, in that sense, I agree then. Yeah. I agree with that. You got to face the music.
But, like, actually coming to terms. And almost, like, 2020 was, like, a mourning period for all the crap I was dealing with in 2019.
God. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Yeah. That's coming to terms, yeah. Another similarity. There we go.
It is, dude.
Oh, man.
What's the what would you consider your biggest success? Well, two part. What do you consider your biggest success, and also what are you proudest of? Because they're not always the same thing. So,
well, I don't know. That could vary a lot. I mean, obviously, like those two covers, like that's phenomenal. Like I'm, that was huge for me because it's like turning point. You know? But like other successes, I guess would just be like. They're all stepping stones. So it's just like, oh, being able to do a huge art show back in Charleston, you know, with like a whole bunch of artists in this giant warehouse, you know, it's called Culture Clash, and there's like six of them or whatever.
Yeah.
So just being able to be part of that for a few times was like a huge stepping stone for me, you know? So it's just like, I mean, even just meeting other artists is a huge success, you know, befriending people, you know? And then, I don't know. So I can't really lock it down to just one thing, you know? It's just like, because I consider very... all the small victories to be huge successes, you know? That's, like, I don't take anything for granted, you know?
That's a great attitude to have in this vibe and industry. Yeah.
So, I mean, even making a new painting is a success. Because, I'm sure you're well aware how difficult it can be to produce something.
I don't know that there's been a time I've come up to you at a show that you weren't showing me what you were working on or proud of. I mean, it's like, literally, like, hey, look what I'm doing. Yeah. I mean, it's like...
I just did that, like, in Florence. I did the same, you called me out. Yeah, I did exactly that.
But it's never a bad thing.
I just left my table. I was like, oh, shit, Hector, this. Yeah.
But it's reality is that you actually enjoy what you do, which makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're proudest of? Like, just that you felt the most... like accomplishment or achievement or just satisfaction and like this is the coolest thing I've created or this is the thing that expresses me most or anything like that. Like
it's different because like I think I can't really just pick one, but I guess as an example, I mean again other than those two comics but that's a different kind of aesthetic, you know?
Yeah.
But like personally, if I had to pick, like, one piece that I guess I'm proudest of would be, do you remember that large painting I had with the blue girl? Blue? Yeah, that was a turning point piece. So it was huge. That thing's, like, 30 by 48 or something. Like,
yeah,
it was 3 feet by 4. It's huge. So I was just like...
It wouldn't fit my car. Yeah.
No. So I was just like, oh my God, I need to do more like this. So, you know what I'm saying? And then at that time, I think I made the paintings of those four babes that I draw all the time. And I was like, I should do something with them, you know? So it's just like, it's... I guess those would be my proudest accomplishments now. But then again, it's just like, I can make another... that skull painting I have just now, that's a huge accomplishment. But they're all turning point pieces. It's an evolutionary process. Like, I can't just take one, you know? And that'd be like asking a band what their best album is when they have 10 albums, you know? So it's just like, they're going to say, you know...
I always feel like whenever, like, because, you know, I always feel like whatever the freshest one is...
Yeah.
For me, is my favorite.
Yeah.
Just because I don't, like, literally when I put something behind me, like, I created that, that happened, it's gone, this is the new thing. Or, like, whatever's most recent.
Still a success, though.
Because
without that, you wouldn't be where you are now.
And, like, somebody, like, I mentioned I don't like to put my first book out. Somebody, like, emailed me sometime in 2020, said, hey, I've read everything you've written. Your first book is still my favorite. And I'm like, crap!
That's funny, because I've heard that, too. Yo, so some guy came up yesterday, and he's dressed as, what was his name, from, Jesse Ventura from Predator, what was his character? Blaine, right?
I don't remember, but I know who you're talking about.
So he's dressed, sexual Tyrannosaurus guy, so he's dressed up as him, he's looking at the portfolio, he's like, Tim Showers, I got a Creature from the Black Lagoon print from you, it's still on my wall, it's framed, I was like, dude, that's from like 2013. And that was, like, the first one of that series to sell out, you know?
Yeah.
So that guy got that to me in 2013, and tells me that it's like still on his wall and he's like never taken it down. And I'm like, wow, that's a success. That's a proud moment. Like, that's really rad. It stuns me when people tell me that.
What's an area that you want to move into that you haven't gotten to yet?
Murals.
Okay.
Vinyl figures.
Oh, dude, your stuff would be a fantastic in vinyl figure.
So, just, I guess, quote-unquote gallery setting. Like, have you ever been to Basel, Miami?
No.
That whole vibe that, like, I would love to get into that. You know, but there's, like, satellite shows, but there's so many people. I lost phone coverage for so many people, but everyone's like, there's graffiti everywhere, and there's street art, and people painting, and just that whole culture, like, that would be a huge turning point slash thing. Because that's always been my goal anyways. That's, like, where I've come from, you know? Just, like, you know, working in pieces in local underground art shows in Charleston, South Carolina, you know what I'm saying? And getting to know, like, people that weren't as well known or popular in the quote-unquote art scene in Charleston. So we was like the underdogs, you know? So essentially, like, there's that aspect, which has always been a goal, and I still am a part of, I consider myself, that's where I'm heading. It's where, yeah, I've always headed.
Yeah.
And yeah, figures and murals, really anything. Like, again, don't put your eggs in one basket, anything and everything.
So, fast forward 20 music, years from now.
You know,
music?
Yeah, but, you know, if I could just, like, combine that with everything, you know?
Well, do you know Afua? Afua Richardson? She's usually in the...
I got, like, an old, like, Heroes Con back in, like, 2014. I got, like, a mini sketchbook from her. You know, I just went up to her table because who was it? Someone told me, I think it was, like, a mutual artist friend was like, hey, you know, check this thing out. It's just like a you know, a hand stapled like zine sketchbook. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I got one from her. So I know of her. Yes.
Well, like, she's blown up over the last year or so.
Really?
She did artwork for, she did a whole Black Panther book for Marvel.
What?
She's done DC covers. She's done Image stuff.
Wow.
And then recently, have you heard of Lovecraft Country? It's a HBO horror series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah.
She did all the artwork in Lovecraft Country.
What?
Like, she designed everything. But then there's a plot line in the show where someone has to, someone needs to create a comic book.
Okay.
Like, as part of the story.
Yeah.
And it's a woman who didn't know how to draw. And then later she, like, has the dopest comic book in the world.
Yeah.
And they like, how'd you learn to do this? She's like,
yeah,
I traveled to the future, and an artist named Afua taught me.
Oh,
like, they trick called her out by name on HBO.
So now she's real on an HBO quantum level as well.
Yeah, and, like, and the stuff she was doing for Jordan Peele. So she's got, like, she's done all that. What she's doing right now is
that's straight up all multimedia. Yeah.
It's all, but it's what you said. She's she's doing a creator-owned book. Writing it, illustrating it, doing all the things.
Yeah.
But she's releasing an album that goes along with each issue.
Oh my God. Wow.
So it writing makes... songs, recording, doing a thing. So when you get the first issue,
yeah,
it encompasses visual, video, audio. Wow. And so it's just like,
yeah, that's amazing.
I think you would kill something like that.
If I get to the point where I can actually get killed like that, then yeah, totally.
But I think the idea of...
Again, I won't put my eggs in one basket. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
So, I would love to hear the audio of what your art sounds like.
Oh, dude. It'd be wild. Yeah.
Right?
I'd have to learn how to do it, but, like, I have ADD, and I'm just like, I'll do it. Like,
have you seen Mike Shinoda's stuff from formerly of Linkin Park?
Not recently. No.
Okay. He's a visual artist now.
I think he always was.
It's his job now.
Okay.
Like,
okay, I understand.
He twitches.
Okay.
Just doing visual art.
Oh, wow.
And that's his, like, main gig.
Yeah, he was like a graffiti guy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now what he does is he does a album based on whatever the Twitch stream is.
Okay.
So, like, he has an album of just this month's Twitch stream.
Wow.
It's just beats.
Yeah, that's... But oh, my God. If I could learn how to make, like, lo-fi beats, I'll be in heaven. Like,
so
I need, like, one of those mixers, and then once I figure it out, I can just sit there all day and, like...
That's what he made a beat album for, you know, his art. Yeah. And it's, I would love to see what you pull off with it if you ever went down.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Last thing, because show's technically open. Okay. 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Whether you're still pursuing art full time, whatever else, what do you want to be known for as an artist? 20 years from now, if people are like, "Oh, Tim Showers, go!" Like,
being me.
What's that mean? Like, what to the people that don't know you? Like, what's that mean?
Well, it's very difficult to describe. Now that I think about it, you have to like experience me in person, I guess. And then you'd immediately know. I think. I don't know. It's difficult. I'm not really good at talking about myself, but I don't know. That's an interesting question.
It's like, what footprint or fingerprint would you want to leave in the art world 20 years from now? Not that you're going to be done in 20 years. You're not, like, decrepit or anything.
God, yeah, I'd be, like, almost 60 at that point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it's not so much what I leave behind. I guess it just matters if, you know, people are into it, and it inspires someone else to do it too. I don't know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find your art?
Instagram, mostly. It's like,
good morning.
It's like TM Showers, all one word.
Okay.
You know? And then just on Instagram currently, and then I have like a Facebook art page. It's like Art of TM Showers. But that's really just like a spillover from Instagram.
The Instagram's where it's at for you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, his links will be in the bio or the info section for this, and check out his art. Tim is always one of my favorite people to see at cons.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, you're wonderful.
that's a hell of a compliment. All right. Well, thank you. This was fun.
Thanks, dude. Totally.